You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Welcome to the Live Free Now show, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Today is a beautiful day, and we have a wonderful guest joined with us today, Tony Guerin of the Grand Rapids Autonomous, Grand Rapids Autonomous Support System up in Michigan, and we're going to chat with him about the community that they're building, which hopes to provide mutual aid and support and a creative space for people to organize and to live their best lives without the need for the state. Of course, that's a big topic here on the Live Free Now show. We are not fans of government. We believe that government has hindered human progress and human flourishing. And instead of just complaining about the problem, which you can do till you're blue in the face, more importantly, we want to highlight and focus on activists and communities and people that are being the change they wish to see in the world, people that are innovating radically and trying new things, because really that's what it's all about. Quick shout out to our sponsor, freeounceofkratom.com. Check out freeounceofkratom.com. You can pay $5 shipping and handling and get a free ounce. Chronic pain, relaxation, stress, anxiety, overcoming addiction, you name it. This natural plant powder helps with all that stuff. So go to freeounceofkratom.com. And if you're tuned in on the Conscious Resistance, be sure to go to bros.freeounceofkratom.com, bros.freeounceofkratom.com, so we can support the Conscious Resistance Network. And finally, I want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast at livefreenow.show. All right, without further ado, let's bring on Tony Guerin of GRASS, and we could talk about the cool stuff they're doing up in Michigan. Tony, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's beautiful down here in Texas, too. We're just kind of kicked the summer behind us, and now we got some nice weather. I bet it's cold up there. No, you're in a t-shirt.
Actually, it's pretty warm today. It's in the 70s or maybe lower, like upper 60s. But yeah, we got our first frost the other day, which was a treat, nice. So to speak.
We call 70 chili down here in Texas, so yeah. Home of the ball game. We're going to be taking some comments and stuff from people as we go as well. Here's our good friend Miguel. He's in the Pacific Northwest. Peaceful autonomous zones everywhere. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. But before we get into the cool work you're doing with GRASS, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became an activist, and why you think anarchism is the way to go as far as organizing society?
Okay, well, I would say around 2005, 2006, there was a lady that would come over to my parents' house to clean the bathrooms, and she slipped me and my sister this video called Loose Change, a documentary on the 9/11 conspiracy. And nice. I'm very surprised that my mom and dad didn't stop that from happening. We ended up watching it and being really inspired by it, and then showed our parents, and our parents were just like, oh no, that's nothing. And this is a good way to orchestrate a idea to get people to think crazy thoughts, you know? But that really started everything for me. Once I learned about that, I dived into like why we were in Iraq to begin with. I remember in the car with my mom one day, I was like, why are we at war with Iraq? And, my mom and I had a really interesting conversation about that. And that started my questioning, because there were things that she couldn't answer. And so I wanted to seek out answers for myself. And then it wasn't until about 2011, 2012 that I started realizing what was happening with, you know, the uprisings that were happening everywhere in the world at that time, Arab Spring, Occupy movement. And then like around 2013, I watched a video from Storm Clouds Gathering. He's a YouTuber, and actually a friend that, was making these videos on, you know, how to stop World War III is what he called it. And he laid out a lot of things that were in place from the Federal Reserve to our dealings in Syria and Iran and all these different foreign powers. And through learning about that, I really recognize that it's up to me. It's up to each individual to come into a place of dedication to getting us through whatever this crackdown on freedom really how it's being orchestrated. And it's so hard to define it. You know what I mean? But at the time I knew intuitively, spiritually, this is what I want to dedicate my life to, is getting humanity through this current time. And so through that, I started doing a number of different protests. I didn't know what I was doing. I had a few friends that were helping me that were activists. And through those times, I really cultivated a lot of really good friendships and people that were inspired to really take back their power and their sovereignty, and in the local scene, try to create a network of people that were dedicated to living free from the system in various ways. When I started really cultivating those friendships and connections, I realized that a lot of those connections didn't know each other. And so I tried to bring all of those people together that were in my local scene. And then that became to be known as GRASS.
Right on.
And so we called it GRASS because we were trying to think of like, what is, you know, this is for Grand Rapids. It's for beyond, but really it's centralized in Grand Rapids. And what are we here to do? Like, what is the main purpose? We threw up a couple different names, different words that made sense. And then all of a sudden Grand Rapids Autonomous Support System came through. And it just fit right in. And we started doing protests and we started organizing, indoor festivals where we had, we started using the term Agora, where we had people, we didn't charge anybody to be able to set up their wares and sell their stuff or trade or give it away for free. And then we did about 8 or 9 of those. Over 100 people would attend every time. And wow, it became a place where people can just share and trade and do yoga and play music and, really like support each other's like businesses.
Nice. That's great. Just want to point out, we got people watching from Scotland, Barcelona, Alaska, Utah, all over the place. So it's really cool that we, you know, what we have is a loosely affiliated global movement, but mm-hmm. really where a lot of the power lies is in the community building and in the local, the localism. And we had a similar start to activism. I got involved in 9/11 Truth in 2002. It was also a documentary by Alex Jones, 9/11 Road to Tyranny, and right. then began questioning the war. And it's like, well, if 9/11 was a lie, then what are we doing with all this stuff? And I remember hearing about that, that DVD came around, the How to Prevent World War III. Although it didn't function, unfortunately, we had got a bunch of copies and there's a problem with it, but I remember that. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. We had a similar start. I got involved heavily in politics. Did you just kind of skip over the political activism and go straight to the agorism and the community building aspect?
Absolutely. I didn't want any part in the left-right paradigm. It was very obvious to me that both sides were very corrupt. And I saw that as, you know, as a talking point too, like with the people around me that, and I was young at the time, but, and I'm still pretty young, but the people back then were much more aware than any time in human history of like the left and the right being like part of the same bird, so to speak. And that was a way that we can gather people together and say, look, like these people don't serve you. These people don't serve you. It's about like what we're doing together on the ground level. And once we build up those that camaraderie and those connections, those genuine connections of like, hey, I got your back. You can have my, you can use my tools. You can have some food from my garden, like those kind of things. It's really grown to a really beautiful movement, and we're only just beginning.
Cool, cool. So when exactly did it start?
So October 7th, 2015.
Okay, great. Yeah, so 5 years is a good long time to build some solid relationships and stuff. And
yeah.
So you guys are in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Can you tell us about the city? Is it a mid-sized city, I assume?
Yeah, it's a mid-sized city. It's really interesting because it's a very small, big city. So a lot of people know each other. It's segregated in some ways. There's a lot of gentrification that's happening. There's a lot of fresh energy that's coming into the city. It's historically conservative. But there's a lot of fresh energy of, like left energy is coming in. And so there's a very solid mix of people that are just trying to, be like have businesses and have connections and nonprofits, that are geared towards, mutual aid and mutual support. And so that's really cool to see. As I've been living here longer, I've lived here pretty much my whole life. So I've seen the change of it being super ultra conservative to now being this blend of people working together for the common good. And it's really cool to see.
Cool. So we here in Austin, Texas is mostly conservative. Austin is more liberal.
Right.
There's a really significant number of, like, I like to jive with a lot of liberals, the more like genuine liberals that want to get involved in natural health and more granola types, right? Yoga, spirituality, all this stuff. Although right. Oftentimes they may still, you know, vote Democrat or whatever, but at least they're like into these alternatives and not just toe the party line progressives. We have that here in Austin, although there's just a ton of Democrats that want to expand government and involve themselves in people's lives. Do you find Grand Rapids, it's more of that kind of hippie liberal that like they want to do stuff and build stuff and do yoga in the park kind of deal?
Or oh, yeah.
Feel that element of party line type stuff?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's yoga every day. There's a lot of free yoga. There's a lot of group meditations that happen all the time. It's the number one brewery city in the country. So, oh,
cool.
There's yoga at breweries all the time. And, a lot of the breweries will host, like different events, community events for people to come into. Yeah, it definitely seems like this is an area where people are starting to take almost like individual freedom and spirituality and like mesh them together more. And that's really where like I personally am at. You know, I'm definitely somebody that believes in my individual sovereignty, but also like my connectedness to other people, my relationships with the collective is very important as well. And so there's a middle ground there that I'm trying to play. And then it definitely seems like that's happening in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I appreciate that distinction. I was an early follower of G. Edward Griffin, and he wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island and
yeah.
Rail Against, you know, this whole New World Order. And he would say that these people have taken over the power centers of society and they're implementing collectivism. So early on, I had a default objection to collectivism. But as right. I became more spiritual, I learned to realize like the thing that we ought to avoid is political collectivism, where the rights of the individual are kind of taking a back seat to the whole group, right, politically. You know, so I think individual freedom is extremely important, but I appreciate that distinction because at the end of the day, we are all interconnected, you know, not just humans, yeah. but all life and all energy and matter. And I got, we got people pushing back here on yoga and stuff. Even yoga is new age. Maybe there's a lot of people that, like, I've heard yoga is Luciferian and all sorts of stuff.
All right.
Roots in the yogis and Eastern spirituality. I don't think there's anything having to do with Satan about that. But what role does yoga play for you guys coming together and becoming more healthy and uniting around this practice? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think mindfulness is a really big part of what we do. We try to start each of our gatherings with a centered breath. We try to, and actually I took from Derek Bros, he likes to do the howl. Mm-hmm. So we like to do that at the end of our sessions, our meetings. So we just like all breathe together and just like let it go, you know, and it's very empowering for people. I think that's a very good, like, it's a very cool way for people to feel connected in community. But yeah, yoga, meditation, we do breath work. And we all, a lot of us believe that breath work is a very, sacred practice to get in tune with our own energy before we speak or before we do some heavy organizing. If we're going to work on some logistics or we're going to plan a gathering with 100 people or more, then it's really good to have if you've had things going on in the day, you can come here and just breathe for a second, and then we can go into working out the project details. So yeah, I'd say it's been very important to us.
I think that's critical. I definitely want to talk about some tactics and strategies and the kind of how to's, the nuts and bolts of forming this community, because it sounds like y'all have a lot of cohesion and it would be identified as a successful community. One of the things, I've been involved in organizing and activism and groups and PACs and all sorts of stuff for like 15 to 20 years now. And one of the big problems I see is the infighting. And you can kind of expect conflict to be inevitable. And the problem isn't necessarily the conflict, because that will arise because we're all different people and we have different beliefs and views, but it's how we deal with the conflict. So have you found that mindfulness practice being a regular part of y'all's organization, has that helped when conflict does inevitably arise for people to kind of take a step back and take a breath and cool down? Or can you talk about that? What's conflict like in y'all's group?
Yeah, it's a really good thing to bring up. Around the 2-year mark, we had just finished our second festival. We did one festival that was 3 days with, 250 people. And then the second festival, it was super labor intensive. And we had 500 people for 4 days, I believe. And after that festival, things started to like kind of break apart in our community. People were a little bit feistier, a little bit angry with each other, and there had been some infighting that had gone on. And I think a part of like what caused it was there was a lot of distraction with the festival. So we couldn't really deal with the interpersonal drama. We just had to like set it aside. And so for the last 2 years, it's really been like growing back into alignment with what are our values and how do we handle conflict and not let it get to a point of we get angry with each other. And people have come and gone. But right now what we're working on is having a mediation team, a specific protocol for how we do mediation, so that it doesn't ever have to get to a point where things blow up. People are talked to when they air grievances. And if it becomes a thing where they feel like they have to have further mediation, then we go through a specific process to go through that. And then we have like a last resort of what, like if mediation cannot be come to, if agreeance can't be come to, then the body itself talks with these people. We all talk together about what is the best solution moving forward.
Right on. It's great to have those mechanisms in place. because the conflict does inevitably arise. And if you don't have a predetermined means of addressing that, then a lot of times people can just go off the rails and there can be all sorts of conflict. You mentioned values earlier. I want to check this out. Can you see this on the screen here?
Yep.
Okay, sweet. So you guys have this really cool pillars and value with the upside down triangle, which I like, and it's symbolic as well. We used to have this with Brave New Books, and there was a all C&I at the bottom, and it was representative of the people and the power at the top, and we're flipping the Illuminati pyramid on its head. So, cool. Well, why don't you talk about some of these values? You got active liberation, consent, gift culture, and then a bunch there on the inside. What's the inspiration for this symbol here, and what's it all about?
Yeah, so my partner actually designed this logo, and she's on the logistics team. So we're trying to come up with a way that we could fit all of these values and these pillars together. The act of liberation, consent, and gift culture, those can be called our pillars. This is what the entire community stands on. That's what makes it able to have the legitimacy that it does. And what it's all gearing towards is community resilience. That is our main focus. But the topics in the middle, or the expressions in the middle, are our values. And that's how we live out those pillars. And we do that through different events, and through, like, basically when we bring up a meeting, we go through a list of what this is about and how we communicate in this space. And those values are talked about at the beginning. So we're all made aware going into the discussion that this is what we're doing here. It's been a beautiful process of trying to live out these ideals. You know, we can't live out these ideals every moment and every day. They come and they go, but with practice, we're trying to get better at, you know, being the change we wish to see in the world.
Cool. Yeah, I like that it's all written out, so you kind of have something to go back to or to point out if people are not being honest, for example, or not taking personal accountability. Okay, so you mentioned Agora earlier. We actually have somebody saying gift culture. Oh boy. What's the gift culture all about? Myself, I'm a big market guy. I like money. I like exchange and trade. I see a place for it, but I'm familiar with the whole gift economy, and there's all sorts of festivals and movements where you don't do trade, you just gift each other stuff, and there's a lot of reciprocity. Can you kind of talk about that? And do you guys object to cash and exchange in that regard, and it's like exclusively gift culture, or y'all more laissez-faire with it? What's that pillar all about?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, is that, you know, there's nothing about me that doesn't like money. I don't like the way money is created. I definitely do not like the Federal Reserve. Really, what that comes down to is gift culture to me and to our community is the way our network works best is if we're constantly in gift of each other, sharing our skills, sharing our love, sharing our attention. And instead of the instinct of like me, like what can I get out of this? It's what can I give to other people and trust that those other people are going to support me in return. That's what we mean by gift culture. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're only giving stuff to each other. It's also trading. And it's also like, hey, I know how to do energy work or Reiki or something like that. And we agree upon a price together. And there's no, like with the agorism, like there's no taxes that are written on it, you know? So I think we're trying to cultivate a relationship with exchange that feels free. And it doesn't feel, like it's restrictive.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I like what you said too about the gift giving, not necessarily about things, but skills and support. And like oftentimes one of the best gifts someone can give to another person is listening to them, you know, mm-hmm. and compassion. And I'm thinking about nonviolent communication, where there's this song that the guy Marshall Rosenberg does. And it's like, the greatest gift you can give is the gift of your receiving, like receiving somebody openly and empathetically. Yeah. Is NVC part of y'all's stuff when you deal with, do y'all ever talk about nonviolent communication and stuff like that?
That's something I'm not totally like, I feel like I do practice quite a bit, but I'm not very well versed in it. We just did a workshop about a week and a half ago, where we brought in two professors from two different universities, that are, experts in communication in, conflicts. And they were able to really break down some tactics and ways that we can talk to one another, and the whoever's listening, like their partners or their like connections, like we tried to take in from these people tactics that we can use from there on to try to like make our communication with other people more genuine and more free and not. I feel like sometimes when you communicate, when we communicate with people, we, even though our intentions are good, the way things come off can be restrictive or like defining of what that person is or what they're saying. And it can lead to more conflict instead of allowing for a free and open dialogue about what needs to be done or how we feel about a certain thing. And so that's something that is very important to us. And it's very like subconscious too. There's a lot of like subconscious things that we've learned for a long time, like rhythms and ways that we speak that may be harmful, that we don't recognize are harmful. But if we can allow ourselves to be humble and try to speak openly about that, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that that was what you said, or like, you know, that's something that we're trying to be more clear on.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a really high level of just consciousness in general, which is something I really appreciate. I think a lot of movements and organizations are lacking that consciousness, which kind of acts as like a check and balance with drama and honoring other people and just being mindful of what it is that you say and how your actions and your words affect other people. That's one of the reasons why I appreciate Derek Brose and the Conscious Resistance Network, right? And we're doing this whole Freedom Cell thing, and a lot of folks in the Freedom Cell Network came there because of their awareness of Derek Brose, and he has that whole element of mindfulness. And one of the things I appreciate how he talks about, if we were to have a stateless society, but we didn't do the work as, you know, human beings, then we're simply going to recreate some terrible construction. It may take a different form, but it's still going to be pretty ugly. So I think that's super cool y'all are doing that. If you're just joining us, we're chatting with Tony Guerin of the Grand Rapids Autonomous, let me get those other S's, Grand Rapids Autonomous Support System. And yeah, we're talking about his social organization they have over there. They do mutual aid. They have a physical space as well. Let's talk about that here in a second. But first, why don't you tell us what we're seeing in these pictures? Because it sounds like you guys do a lot of events and cool stuff like that. What are we looking at here? That's a big crowd of people right there, if I ever saw
them. Yeah, that was the last festival we did, which was, I think, 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. We were going to do one this year, but that didn't happen. So yeah, it's something that we feel very strongly about, having a large event that gathers people together. And last year, that year specifically, we had Derek Brose as our keynote speaker. And that was a really, really beautiful way to, get many people in the Grand Rapids area together and talk about what it means to live in freedom. And have workshops and have really good music that's about mindful living and those kind of things. And yeah, it was all pay what you can, the whole festival. The first year was pay what you can as well, and we ended up getting on top.
Nice.
Both times. It was beautiful.
That's pretty good for having an event. A lot of times they lose their butts off. My buddy Mike Barre here in Central Texas says, cool shirt, Tony.
Thank you.
Edward says, Freedom Cell, are you a participant? So from what I understand, what y'all are doing isn't Freedom Cells per se. It's kind of on a parallel track, similar concept.
Yeah.
Cool. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, I've known Derek for a long time, and I've a lot of what Grass came to be was inspired by Derek, was inspired by Aaron Hawkins, Storm Clouds Gathering, was inspired by you, was inspired by a lot of different people that were talking about different ways of doing things and the whole idea of the eight people. We've come to feel that it's around 12 or 15 people. That's like a good amount. And we're starting to get, meetings up to, we used to have like 35 people, 40 people. Now we're building back up to about like 25 people. And we're starting to think maybe we should break off, you know, and have different sections. But yeah, we have, we have different guilds. We call them like the different Freedom Cells are guilds, where we have teams, like a logistics team. We have a mediation team. And like for specific events, like Spectacle is our really big, event outside of the festival. And that's where we do the Agora action. And we'll have like a team of 8 to 10 people that are just focused on that one event. And so, yeah, it's really beautiful. There's about 1,000 people in our group on Facebook. Wow. Cool. That all like talk amongst each other. And we're also on Telegram, so we can talk about like any of the protests that are happening in our city and like what to do about it, where you're going to be, are you safe? So yeah, it's been beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. And I think that the important part with Freedom Cells or Grass or whatever is like, we don't know the best way to do things. We're all experimenting with some pretty radical stuff here. And so I think it's important for people not to think like, oh, this is the one, it's my way or the highway, or this is the best and that blah, blah, blah. Cause it's all unique to each individual group, each area, each geography. And then, you know, like the politics or at least the philosophy of the people involved will help inform what ends up happening. But I think the critical thing is for you guys doing what you're doing up there, for us doing the Freedom Cell stuff over here, for other groups, like we should coalesce and share best practices. Like it sounds like you guys are doing really good when it comes to group cohesion and events, and you guys already have arbitration stuff that's set in place. I find that to be some pretty advanced organizing. Let's check out another picture here. What are you guys doing in this pic here? This looks like a nice, lovely bunch of people.
Yeah, that was one of the first spectacles that we ever did. And it was after the event, and we just, it's hard to talk about the gratitude and the feelings of connection when you're in those type of spaces where it's like non-judgment and people supporting people doing, selling their wares and selling their passions and trading. And, yeah, that was a moment of people just like coming together and let's share the space and extend gratitude to each person that was here tonight and put it all together.
Nice. What do we got going here? Is this another one of the events?
Yeah, that was the workshop that we just did about a week and a half ago. And so those two people were Dawn, I forget her last name, Dawn and Mike, I believe it was, were the speakers, and they came from two different universities to speak with us.
Cool. Do you have, earlier on, somebody was talking about like, let me see if I can find the comment, but they were saying that you can't opt out, the state will always crush you or whatever. How are you going to do this with the state around? I can't find it here. Let me find that real quick. This guy. Will the system let you live outside of it? So with the Freedom Cell thing, a lot of people are really geared towards, and I always try to push this and have like the big picture vision. Like eventually a lot of people are already opting out on a smaller level, but eventually I'd like to see us 10,000, 100,000 strong and we literally opt out, maybe through some sort of declaration of independence or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. But how much of y'all's group and network is about avoiding the state, avoiding taxation, agorism, or is it more like we're just going to form this community and be spiritual or whatever? Are there elements of both, or what's that all about?
There are elements of both. I think some people are more into the anarchism than others. Some people are more like, and that's part of it too, is we want to create a space where a lot of people can be exposed to these ideas, and they can feel the connection and community regardless of having to be bogged down by like, this is what we're about. Like what the real meaning is about, you know what I mean? Like there's a very strong goal of autonomous support system. We want to live outside of the system as much as possible. But that only can come through the connections in the community. So what we believe is at least what I believe is when we have a strong enough community, then we can start doing those things. We can start to try to do those things in our own life, but it's going to be way easier when we have other people that are collaborating with us to get that done on a bigger scale and so it's more of a force to be reckoned with than you're just one person that's like evading your taxes or something like that, you know?
Yep. I hear that. And I think there is value in an element of like non-definition, right? Where it's not about a political movement, or a lot of times it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And you guys are journeying in and like getting together and having good vibes and growing and helping one another. And I think that in itself is victory. You know, we don't have to opt out, and we can go home and people still involve themselves with government in various degrees. But what you guys are doing is really what it's all about, you know, at the end of the day. And we don't have to have some big goal. It's like we're already doing it, which I think is a beautiful thing. OK, cool. You're also a musician. So I want to play one of your songs. But why don't you just give us an intro to your music, what it's all about? And you have a band called Why Not? Is that what the band's called? Why Not?
Yeah.
Cool. And you got a song, Be the Chains. This was a song y'all did during COVID, like not in the same room and stuff. Why don't you set that up for us?
Yeah. So we definitely were on the brink of really good things when COVID hit. We had just played a EP release show with 120 people in attendance. All of our friends came out. We sold a bunch of CDs and shirts, and we're ready to we're going to play Electric Forest. So there was a really big possibility of things popping off, and then COVID happened. And so a lot of people became quarantined, and we weren't able to practice. And it was in the middle of quarantine that I was playing this song, and I was like, wow, this song needs to get out there right now. Like that, like it just intuitively, it hit me like a bullet. It was like, wow, we need to get this song out there. And as soon as Whitmer, opened up, to have, different businesses open up, one of the studio that we had been working at before, I contacted the engineer and I was like, can we do this? And he's like, yeah, let's do this before anything shuts down again or whatever. It's like, I wanted to make sure we get that time in the studio to like get this song recorded as best as we can do it and just like send it out. And we did it in a day. And, I guess what you're going to hear is what it is.
Cool. I forgot to even think about the fact that you guys were under Whitmer's tyranny. She was one of the most egregious of the governors that really went hard as far as the lockdowns and stuff. So kudos to you guys for, I hope we're on the other side of it pretty much, not about to dive deep again, but well, it's cool that you guys were making the best of it and still managed to do some pretty cool stuff. So let's listen to your song here. It's 5.5 minutes. We're going to play it in full, and then we'll have some parting words with you after the song. So thanks for joining us. Beautiful. Tom.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you.
Here comes the tunes.
the silence has spoken, calling us to awaken the mystery inside that it must not be shaken. Our power to heal rests within our skin. Harness the energy, wake up your friends, be the example and step with your purpose. Hand in hand with the strength of the warrior, we have this present to deliver our best. Let's rise from the occupation in the West. We will show this nation what has been missing. Connection with others, genuine and listening. We are here on the path to recover. Find hope in the spirit, tell stories of resilience. No enemy will break the power of the heart. We're rooted in service, no one falls apart. With our love combined, we will shake the outcome. Why not be the change? We'll then to rise from what now? Be the change, why not be the change? The power is open in the people's hands. Let's rise up together and take a stand. Why not be the change? Why not be the change? The ancestors sing this loud and clear. Let's rise up today, need the damage here. Whoa, 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 whoa. Movement of action, the time for relaxing has came and went off fraction. All the people on this earth are caging the vulnerable, is sick and unbearable. Stay be your mind and get ready to rumble. The seeds have been planted through us being humble. We'll bloom, bloom, the field so far away. An outstretched hand can heal so much pain. We don't need a blame to get this done. No more shame, the walls already been won. Open up and let love right in. And pour it out to every single one of your friends. We have a duty to care for another. Our silence is violence. Words can be swords. How you speak can shake the masses. Tough love, yeah, we may need a few dashes. Make a change now. Our future depends on the choice to live on when everything ends. Community, because it's just you and me. Till the whole damn world is finally free. Why not be the change? Why not be the change? The power's open in the people's hands. Let's rise up together and take a stand. Why not be the change? Why not be the change? Yes, let's sing this loud and clear. This was up today, need the damage here. Whoa, 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 whoa. And take a stand. Why not be the change? Why not be the change? Yes, it's a thing that's loud and clear. Let's rise up today, need the damage change.
All right. That was great. Great work on that, man. Cool song you got there. That was really cool. Super powerful. Really great musicianship, too. Like the guitar solo with the wah-wah pedal. And is the guitarist the saxophone player, too? Yeah. One of the saxophone players? No, it's the same hat.
Yeah. So he went to Western Michigan for saxophone and soccer. But he hasn't played saxophone in years and decided last minute that maybe I should play some tenor sax on this. Right.
Cool. So, yeah. Good bunch you got there. It's a big band. Y'all guys were really in sync. And I like the whole jam band aspect of it where it's, and I always like the breaks too, where it's like bump, bump, bump,
yeah,
bump. So that was a cool song. And of course the lyrics are super potent. What role has music played in your development as an activist and
oh man,
big doer?
That's my bread and butter. That's where it all comes from. So I'm running an EP right now. We're close to being done. But really the music is the way of, it's so hard to even speak on. The music is the way to connect to people, to the ideas that you have to share without just talking to them. And so I'll put in like in the lyrics where you think it's about this thing, but it's really about this thing too. About sovereignty and about like individual autonomy and empowerment and get through this and they can't control us. Like, those kind of wordages and phrases all like mix into the lyrics. And it could be about something on the small scale, but for me personally, it's about the big scale. Like they can't control us. Like this is like our hearts and our empowerment and our community. Like as long as that's strong, we won't fade away.
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah. Music's always, it's like a universal language and it's something that can unite people. And it's played a great role in protests and empowerment and spirituality and all sorts of stuff. So, well, that's great. I think that's a great spot to end on. Can you give us the website? And if there's anyone that's traveling through the Grand Rapids area, can they reach out to you guys and come visit? And one last thing, you guys have a physical space that y'all hang out at? Is that the case?
Yeah. So we've been working on this physical space for about 2 years. It's called the DAC, Division Avenue Arts Collective. And they're a music venue that's been around for like 15 years, but for the past 5 years, they haven't had a location. And so the last 2-3 years, they've been working really hard to try to get a new space that can be their home for a long time. And, during that time, I was working on the possibility of starting, a music venue myself. Because I was kind of sick of like going through the hoops of the music industry and, you know, people taking off the top of like what we're going to make. And if I just owned a music studio, then I could play with my band. And, we have enough people that are grounded and centered and able to do the work if that was something that, people wanted to jump on. So the DAC and us worked together for about 2 years, communicating, trying to figure out a space. And now they have a space. They've been doing renovations on it, and we're just working on finding a time that we can actually open. You know, we're only going to be open for like 25% capacity if we open right now. So it's all just a matter of like, when can things open up? When is it safe or safe? You know, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be interesting, but it's a beautiful space and we can have about 100 people in there at a time. So
right on. Cool. Yeah. Having a physical space is really important element to growing community where it's just kind of the place where everybody knows your name. And, you know, it's a good part of a foundational part of having a community, but sounds like you guys are still rocking and rolling space or not doing a lot of cool stuff. So why don't you throw out the website for people that want to learn more for us?
Yeah, it's grasscommunity.weebly.com. We just have a Weebly right now. But grasscommunity.weebly.com. And then I also have a podcast, if anybody is interested in that, on Spotify and on YouTube. It's Tune In, the and symbol, Find the Others. Tune In and Find the Others.
Tune In and Find the Others. Is that a website, or is that what someone should look up on the...
It's on. You can find it on YouTube, Podcast Addict, Spotify.
Cool.
Project Bring Me to Life.
Right on. Cool. All right, Tony. Well, you guys keep up the good work. Y'all are doing a lot of really cool stuff up there and really setting the bar high as far as organizing autonomous communities. And I really think this is the next level decentralization. And it's really cool and inspiring to see what you guys are doing. So thanks a lot for coming on the Live Free Now show.
I'm super grateful to be a part of it. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Peace. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Peace.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today to the Live Free Now show. As always, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. We'll be sure to include the links to Grass and Tony's music and his podcast as well in the description. And again, you can subscribe to this podcast at livefreenow.show. All right. Thank you so much for everybody reminding you to live free, be happy, be healthy. We're going through some crazy, tumultuous times, but with community and with positive outlook and with some love for your fellow human beings and, more importantly, love for yourself, we'll get through this and come out better on the other side. All right. Peace and freedom. I'm out. Thanks.